The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your garden, plants, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live in the Toronto GTA area, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path. Welcome back, Matthew.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Gary.
This is where,
as
you guys know, this is anybody listening to the show, this is where we chat every Monday night about down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. And now is definitely the season for tips and advice for their landscapes, right?
Oh, yes.
So Matthew and I are both fellow gardeners and landscape designers, and Matthew's a horticulturalist, and we think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance, which is why each week we do our best to kind of come up with topics and guests that help you help yourself with your garden. And tonight it's just us, so we are here for your questions. There's lots to talk about in spring and April. And so Gary said that phone numbers, definitely you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. And we're both on Twitter if you want to tweet us, right?
Yep.
Or, we will answer your questions or post anything on Facebook. So Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joanne?
I'm good. The season is upon us, although today was very chilly here in the GTA.
And rainy, and yesterday was just, downright chilly.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of rain today.
Lots of rain, but we do need it for
yes.
sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, April yeah. showers bring May flowers.
That's right. It's just a little a day late,
yeah.
but that's okay. But definitely, we definitely need it, so I think that's good.
Yes, and I think so too.
Yes, and I think all the hardworking landscapers, even though they're it's probably stressing them out because they couldn't work today or probably tomorrow, but they all needed a break too because
yes.
they've been going hard. I find it's a hard time of year for them because they've started working, but then they're still quoting. Like they're still, trying to see clients. So they're really kind of working both ends.
Yeah.
And it can be really tricky. So kudos out to any landscapers that are listening because it is that time of year. That's a bit challenging.
It is.
Going crazy. So, and I've enjoyed the day I don't feel like I caught up, but I'm behind on designs.
I was going to say, you must be going crazy too.
I am going a little crazy and I overbooked myself last week. And with appointments and then, a contractor needed this and her contract, and so then I like squeezed in appointments amongst already busy appointments. And so, would have five or six in a day. And then like, when was their time to actually, do the plant quote or get anything done. So, yeah. So I'm paying for that now. And I got caught up on quite a bit today. I know I was, I told you I did the Clarington Home Show a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And I was giving away a, you know, for people to encourage people to sign up for my newsletter, giving away a nice succulent planter, a birdcage planter. Well, I've been another so one. Busy that I haven't had a chance to call the winner. So I qualified. That was one of my to-do lists today. So I did call her. I had picked her name right away. And I just, you know, that piece of paper just sat on my desk and... So I felt really bad, but she was very happy to be the winner. I dropped it off on my way to the studio. So her name is Donna. So congratulations. I hope she's listening tonight.
Congratulations, Donna. Yes. It was a lovely succulent birdcage. Yes. You do those so well.
Thank you.
They are
Thank
gorgeous
you. They
every
are,
time.
They are fun to do. So it's hard to give them away.
Yeah.
They are so much fun to do.
Keep them for yourself.
That's right. That's right. So how about you? Have you been busy?
Yeah, the garden center is getting really, really busy. Everyone is very eager, very, very eager. Lots of nice perennials and trees and shrubs slowly trickling in. Lots mm-hmm. of trees and shrubs are in. Perennials are growing. Annuals are coming. But everyone is so, so eager.
I know. Right? It's almost like we were saying earlier. It's a bit, you know, everybody, when all the Christmas decorations come out in October.
That's exactly
And it. Then you kind of get that panic that you got to get all your Christmas shopping done or you got to buy your decorations really early. But yet you really, in fact, have 2 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's kind of like this April, I find, is that, you know, for the garden season.
Yes.
It really is early.
Really it's, is
there,
early.
There is no... deadline that you have to have it done by.
No.
You know, I think I grew up with that too. Like if you didn't have your garden in by the May long weekend, you couldn't do, you know, you have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
And I think some people really still think that, you know?
They do still think that. I think that's partly in the garden centers too, because, you know, you get so many plants, just the way the availabilities work, right? They just can't grow another thing.
Right.
So you do have to get some of it by a certain time or you miss out. But I mean, we're months ahead.
Yeah.
Of time. So, I mean, everyone, we've got lots and lots of time left to go. Take the cue. Look it out in your own garden.
Mm-hmm.
The hostas are like barely just showing their tips.
Absolutely.
Right? So why go in for big hostas? You'd think they can't go out.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got a full out hosta starting to flower.
Yes. Nope. Yes. I had someone at their house on the weekend. Yes, I think it was the weekend. It's all blur now. And they had a hanging basket of geraniums outside. And the leaves are all brown. And they're asking me, what's wrong with it? They're watering it a lot and they're fertilizing it a lot. They don't understand.
Yeah.
It's April.
It's April. It's the nighttime
temperatures. I said, that shouldn't even be outside.
No.
You know, so a lot of it is the garden center's fault for putting this stuff out way too early.
I didn't want to say that, but it really is.
Well, I won't say. I mean, it's just the industry, right?
It is just the industry. There's
you know,
nothing you
get
can
everything
really
keen.
Yeah.
So everybody, there's lots of time. It's too early to buy annuals, especially if you're buying annuals in 10-inch pots. I mean, by the time those, you know, fill it, I find by the time they, you know, is ready to put them out, their roots are all bound.
They're
and
all root bound and
yes.
stressed anyways. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're still 4 months away from our average last frost date.
4 months, 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Did sorry. I say 4 months?
You did.
Oh, sorry.
I'm like 4 months away from what? Christmas? No.
Yeah, it's not January.
Yeah. No, you're right. Four weeks. Yes. We'll
four
say
weeks.
That. 4 weeks away from our frost.
Yeah. Which means you can still do a lot of starting your seeds indoors.
Yes.
I mean, we're still in that season.
Yes.
On the edge of it, but we're still there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, the keeners that do the seed starting definitely have those underway. I've watched them online and they got them out and stuff. I saw someone posting today using a grapefruit spoon for moving her seedlings, potting them up and stuff. I thought, that's a cool little
that's
use
a great
for
little
that.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought.
It's like a little shovel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right, though. Taking cues from our outside plants, looking at the shrubs that are just budding. You know, some of the early flowering things like the service berries are blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese snowbell, that's one too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when I was in a garden last week and that those they had several of those trees in their kind of shade garden.
Nice.
And they were blooming nicely. And I'm not as familiar with that one. I know it to see it.
I'm about there too.
Yeah,
I know it to see it, but
yeah, but it was nice and I guess it must grow well in the shade because this was a shady, you know, well certainly the deciduous trees hadn't leafed out yet, but there were a lot of evergreens.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, that kind of, you know, because, you know, I do service berry a lot, but it's nice to have something else.
It is nice to have something else.
Yeah, for sure. So what should we talk about? I know there's so much to talk about this time of year.
There's so much to talk about. And, you know, if you're listening and you have an idea that you'd like us to talk about or have any questions about anything, Feel free to
even grass seed,
even grass seed, even lawns, even lawns. Realityradio101@gmail.com. You can
No, is that wrong?
I'm reaching for the sheet.
Yeah, you are in studio.
InStudio101@gmail.com. That's what our number there is.
It used to be that. Gary changed it.
So Gary changed it. Right? Oh, see, look. Oh. Yeah. He's not even listening.
He's not even listening.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Matt just read out the old email address, and I corrected him, and I said, because Gary changed it, right?
Yeah,
we all had the other
just
one.
Just make sure, because if they do write, someone's going to listen and write to that. We don't monitor that.
Yes.
So they would say, hey, you never answered my question.
That's right.
We're not looking at it.
So it's instudio101@gmail.com.
Correct.
My mistake. Thank you, Joanne.
No problem. I did want to ask, I know... Donna, when I was there dropping off her bird cage, she'd asked about her privet hedge.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, pruning. We talked a bit about it last week.
And we
pruning, pruning still is a big issue this time of year.
Yep.
And the window, I think people think the window is very short for pruning, but actually, there is time. So so for somebody who has a privet hedge, so that's a deciduous shrub, mm-hmm. and it's just green. The flowers are pretty. You don't buy it for its flower,
no.
You know. So if it's a mature, you know, something that's mature, I would ask the same question about cedars too in a minute, like a cedar hedge, but, is there a good time, a better time to prune it and to kind of get it to thicken up?
Yeah. We always recommend, you know, let it flush out so it can fill in, it can get its shape, and then you have a nice, thick, lush green hedge,
right.
Cedar or otherwise, that May to June when she sends out all that nice, thick, active growth.
Right.
And then you can shape her. It gives you time to fill in any damaged spots or dead spots. Okay. But you can do it a little earlier. If you had just a woody shrub, you can prune it a little earlier, give it a little bit of shape or cut it back.
Okay.
But yeah, generally you want to do it, you know, let it flush out.
Because would it grow twice? Like, because I was thinking that to cut now would prevent all the new growth that's about to come out, right? Would set it back a bit.
So yeah.
Let the new growth come out.
Right.
And then cut it.
Right.
And to encourage more growth.
Right. You can cut it as she starts to grow and break those tips while she's actively growing.
Yeah.
And lush and thicken her up.
Yeah. Now, if it still needs more thickening, do you think that's something to do? Cut back hard in the fall or early spring?
Yeah, you could do that. Yep.
Okay.
Cut back in the fall or the very, very early spring, like February, March, April kind of thing.
Yeah. Then sometimes it's easier just to do that in the fall then, eh? Like,
yes.
You know, you miss those dates.
Exactly. It's nice and warm. You're out there cleaning up anyways.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know they did, because it's always good to cut a third, like anything. I know with my hydrangeas that I'm trying to keep down every year, I say, you know, cut a third back, cut a little bit of the height of all of it, but then cut a third all the way down, which I like to do with even burning bushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tend to be very, people let them grow in kind of very globe shaped.
Yes.
And then, but you touch the leaves and you realize it's all dead inside, right? There's nothing in there. So for everybody out there, it's okay to cut. It's not a trim. It's not, you know, they're not meant to be used hedge trimmers to trim them.
No.
You need to go in and prune them with your hand shears and prune every third branch just to continually have a nice shape and continually fill out the plant.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to let that light get in there to feed
right.
the leaves, or she just lets them go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cedar is a little trickier because it doesn't really regrow. You know, when does it? Like,
I find evergreens can be really stubborn, especially when you cut them back to empty wood.
Right.
Not all of them just quickly volunteer new leaves. So, yeah, be careful about that, too. Making sure that you're pruning at the right time, not pruning too deep.
Okay.
But, you know, pruning at the right time to encourage that nice lush breaking, getting some nice dense foliage.
Okay. And cedar hedges, I know if it's the, I don't know about the emerald cedars, but like the regular hedge cedars, right? If you trim the tops,
right.
That kind of encourages it to kind of branch out and thicken up.
Exactly. Yeah. Just keep pruning off that leader and she just takes over everywhere else.
Right. I never thought about that. Yeah. It's not just pruning off the top. You're pruning off the leader. So any evergreen that when you prune off the leader, that'll send sides, right?
Yeah, she fattens up on the sides.
Yes, yes. Yeah. She, it has to be a she.
You know what? I get that in the garden center. Why is it a she? Why is it a she? Mother Nature?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. So cedar hedges, prune. I know I'm still going to send you a picture of my yews because I still need some advice on how to thicken up the yews.
Mm.
They will, of all of them, I think they do kind of regrow.
They do. I have a little.
Well, boxwood too.
Boxwood's pretty good too. Yeah, I have a little yew hedge at my grandmother's.
Right.
And I'll prune it. And then later in the season, I'll usually get a little spurt of growth in the fall or late summer. And I have to go in and maintain or, you know, shear it back depending on what it's like.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's my Hicks yew. And I know I have pictures that I show clients when I explain to them, you know, what a Hicks yew is. And it's from the nursery. You know, it's all that it's all nice and tight and it's nice and evergreen and thick. And then I look at my own at home and I'm like, yeah. Mine don't look like that. So I'm sure there's something I'm not doing as far, because I'm chicken, right? I don't want to cut too much off. So that's always the fear.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to cut it back and hurt it or kill it. Or,
right.
Yeah. They're living things too. That's
they
what
are,
holds me
for
back.
Sure. For sure. And I know I tried pyramidal yews. I kind of stopped using pyramidal yews at my house and in designs because I just thought, found they just weren't. They weren't as hardy. They were much more sensitive.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask because, yeah, our nursery has slowly moved. Or we carry them, but just the popularity and the overall use in the landscape has dropped dramatically, we find. So, yeah, that's interesting. I've never grown one, so to know that it was more of a hardiness issue than.
Yeah, I was replacing them because, my garden initially started out, I think, with five of them in different, like, of different sizes. That kind of was the look I was going for, of different heights of that look, and I couldn't keep them alive. So I certainly wasn't overwatering them because I know they don't like water, but so that was one of the challenges. What kind of questions are coming into the garden center right now? Lots of grass. I know people
lots
are surprised nobody's
questions.
Emailed yes
no
about
one's
grass.
Emailed about grass.
I know. I wish I want to put a sign on my lawn. Please stop overseeding your lawn in April.
Yeah, it is getting to that temperature where people are going to be able to put some grass seed down. So, and they're feeding their lawns now. It's greening. It's it's actively growing. But yeah, a lot of people were asking about crabgrass and the dandelions are all out. So what's it going to do? What can we do with them? Is there any products to be out? Another big one is nematodes.
Right.
We're just flying through those right now. So,
but is it now a good time to do it? I thought it was too early.
No, you can do it now. The soil's warm enough, so the grubs have activated and they're actually coming to the surface. We have, there's a company in Niagara, I believe it's just straight Niagara Falls, might be in Niagara-on-the-Lake, that area. Anyways, Natural Insect Control.
Okay.
And they monitor a lot of the temperatures across southern Ontario and that Niagara, Lake Erie area. And once they are there, they will ship their product. So they've called and they've shipped their product like 2 weeks ago. So
really?
The soil temperature is just warm enough. It's about 12 to 14 degrees.
So it's still lower than the 16 required for grass seed.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Because people said the bag does say, sorry, jumping back to grass seed, 16 degrees, but it doesn't say nighttime temperatures. But really, like the night, because that's the temperature it stays for the longest part of the day, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that 16?
So it's just,
Yeah, I find that temperature is about that 8 to 9 degrees overnight kind of thing. That's 7, 8, 9 range.
Is good or still right
is,
now?
Is good.
Really?
Is good
okay,
for the
so
grass
I thought
before.
It needed to be a bit warmer than that.
No. No, I've had a number of people already in saying, so my grass has already started and the seed's coming up. So, yeah.
Now, nematodes. So that's interesting that they're, because I thought it was a later summer thing. So now we can still do the nematodes. That's good to know.
Yeah, so you can do the nematodes now and then you can do them in the fall as well.
Right.
And that's the preferred time. And that's mainly because the eggs have just hatched. They're all young. They're all close to the surface and they're weak and defenseless. So the nematodes do that.
They're little baby nematodes. They're baby
grubs.
Grubs. Oh, gosh. That's too bad. That's funny. Oh, goodness. Crabgrass, is corn gluten? So it's our option, right?
Have we
missed our window for that?
We have. The window is just kind of closing now. So if you put it on now, pardon me. If you put it on now, it is too late. The forsythia is in full bloom, and that's kind of the signal where the crabgrass is big enough that the corn gluten will have almost no effect on it.
Okay.
So you can still put it down in beds. If you put it on the edge of your garden bed, any grasses or any other little things that try to, you know,
but I know that even my lawn, I've got like a big, nice clump of it. I could see in the lawn of crabgrass, so it's too late to go and
sprinkle.
You can
see it already. Yeah, exactly. Once you can see the mature plant to a certain size, it's over.
It's too late. Okay.
Because it's only a pre-emergent.
Oh, right.
So you've got that March to April window first Cynthia pops.
Yeah. So now if you can see crabgrass, it's too late.
It's too late, yeah. Need to use other products. Weed Be Gone or...
Will Weed Be Gone work on it? That's the iron product, right?
It is the iron product. It does help it knock it back, but it isn't the best for it at all, no.
Okay.
The best, I think, is still picking it out, getting rid of it that way. Or
there's no way that picking it out is the best.
No. Well, I mean, the sure way to kill it in one shot. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing.
That
for
is
sure,
the hardest
for thing. Sure. So, and fertilizing and grass seeds. You know, we've kind of gone from the pre-emergent to grass seed and fertilizer.
Picking it up. Yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And that's the key. Just nice and tight reseeding, making sure the lawn is nice and thick, preventing any of those weed seeds and those Japanese beetles or June bugs or whoever you've got from getting into the soil.
Yep. Okay. Okay, yeah. So there's lots to talk about today. Should we take a commercial break? And we can talk about more things in your spring garden here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
The rich young ruler. He's rich, powerful. Just ask him. He knows where he's going. But today he has a question. Calling on this carpenter's son for help must be awkward. Teacher, he says, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? How much do I need to invest to be certain of my return? This is Max Lucado. Jesus' answer is intended to make the young man wince. Obey the commandments. Hey, he grins, I've obeyed all of these. Jesus gets to the point. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. The statement leaves the young man distraught. It wasn't the money that hindered the rich man. It was the self-sufficiency. You see, God does for his children what they can't do for themselves. And this was the message of Paul. For what the law was powerless to do, God did. This is Max Lucado.
Hi, I'm Mark Cullen with some news about a wonderful lineup of garden supplies and garden tools that will absolutely knock your gardening socks off. They're called Mark's Choice, and they're exclusive to Home Hardware, 1,100 stores coast to coast to coast. Mark's Choice features great quality products that will not only last years, but in some cases will last a lifetime. Look for my various garden gloves, stainless steel garden tools, stainless steel digging tools, my new garden backhoe, and many, many others. As a matter of fact, there's over 160 different products in the Mark's Choice lineup. I'd love you to try them all, but start by sampling one that appeals to you. Drop by your local Home Hardware, have a look at the Mark's Choice lineup of tools and garden supplies, including my line of garden soils, and decide for yourself. Great quality, lasting quality, and a great gardening experience. That's what I strive for with Mark's Choice. Look for it at Home Hardware.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections
in your life. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
On a lonely day.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email right now, in studio 101 at gmail.com. And now, right back to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, Matthew, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us once again this evening to talk about spring gardening.
Spring gardening and all your spring questions. All your spring questions.
Excellent.
So don't be shy.
Yes, yeah, we'd love to have them. So please email us at instudio101@gmail.com. There's phone numbers as well, but, you know, I know not everybody likes to phone in. You go ahead and read the phone number.
Okay. If you're local or in the GTA area, it's 905-725-1907. Or anywhere in North America, it's 1-866-905-7325. Or worldwide, you can call us at 1-866-656-5477.
Excellent. So we did get one question while we were at break regarding Japanese beetles. I know you'd mentioned it a little bit there with the nematode. So I'm knock wood. I'm lucky. I don't have them in my garden. So what are they? Where do they come from? And what do we do about them?
Yes. They're just a nice, shiny kind of bronze and green beetle.
Okay.
They are one of the white grubs that are in their lawn. And that's why everyone's a little bit worried about getting their nematodes down and taking care of their grubs. Because they're going to come up and they're also going to eat pretty much anything they can find in your garden. They have their favorites, their hibiscus, some birch, hydrangeas, roses, different raspberries.
Okay, so the grubs hatch and, right, so, and become the beetle.
Exactly.
And then the beetle eats our plants.
Comes up and eats the plants. Okay. And then they're going to drop again in August, lay more grub eggs.
Okay.
And then the cycle's just going to repeat.
Circle of life.
So, exactly, yeah. The circle of life. So, yeah, so Tammy, you know, if you have them in your lawn, make sure that you do apply your nematodes or wherever you are, any other grub treatment that might be available to you, because I know Canada and the States are a little different, or around the world. So make sure you get that down in a timely manner. You usually have until about mid-June. That's okay. When they pupate, become that little chrysalis thing. And then if you're using something like nematodes, they can't penetrate that shell. So that's the end of your nematode time.
Okay. Now, once they're a beetle, is there anything we can do?
Right. So then once they're a beetle, here in Canada at least, we have the Japanese beetle traps.
Right.
So it's a pheromone-based trap, a floral and a sexual pheromone scent that draws all the beetles into one point. And basically, it's just a trap. So they come finding the thing, they hit a wall, and they fall down into a trap.
Okay.
And then basically, weekly or as need be, you're just going to empty the beetles and destroy them in the garbage or bucket of soapy water and drown them.
Kind of like the wasp traps, too,
very
right?
much like those wasp traps or those fly traps. Yeah, yes. That's a great comparison. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do they really work, though?
They really actually do. A lot of people, though, are afraid that they're pulling all of their neighbor's trap, that it covers like 6,000 square feet.
Yes, or that they're attracting
crazy.
Them. Yes, that there are people are afraid of that they're attracting them to their garden.
To their garden. And
yes.
If you have a trap and it's in your garden, they don't really cover that like wide of an area. The average backyard, they kind of do.
Okay.
Or, I mean, if you have a prevailing wind coming through your yard, they might draw the ones back upwind if they can get there.
Okay.
Into the trap. But, I mean, that has to be almost a constant prevailing wind, which probably no one has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the average backyard, it draws them into the trap. you're not going to get everybody there. But if you have lots and lots, you're like, where are they all coming from? You probably did have that many. They like to hide under leaves and in flowers.
Okay.
So where you see like two, there's probably another four hiding right there. So.
Now, if you have a bigger, let's say a bigger yard, should you do two traps then?
Yeah, do as many.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That okay. Won't hurt anything. And do it upwind from the plant if you have it, if
yes.
you have it in the yard. Yeah, but.
Okay.
Other than that, the only other thing that we have found that works is there's a product called Endol, and it's
an insect, like it's environmentally friendly, right?
There is an indoor version, and then there's an outdoor version, and the outdoor version is a class 7, so it is a restricted pesticide.
Okay.
In Canada, but it's the pyrethrins in the Endol 2, or the Endol. Endol is the indoor, Endol 2 is the outdoor. That will kill the beetles.
Okay.
If you find the Endol, you can't really use it for it, but it is the only chemical that will kill them.
Okay. Yeah. And I find that interesting because that comes from chrysanthemums, right?
Right.
Right. So it comes from a plant. So I find that that's like a bad chemical or a strong chemical, but it actually is plant-based.
Exactly.
So, So that's always interesting. So that is good to know. And so do they have favorites as far as what they eat?
They can be random, but I mean, a lot of around the garden center, at least,
okay.
We're getting reports of hibiscus, raspberries, a few blueberries, hydrangeas, oaks,
really?
Birches,
hydrangeas. Okay.
Tropical hibiscus, some annuals.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And are you familiar with the leaf, talking about insects, and I always forget which butterfly it is, but the my Annabelle hydrangeas. Get that leaf curl.
That little leaf curl.
And the little cat, the moth is inside.
I think it's a moth.
It
yeah.
is a moth, yes, not a butterfly. I know Norm has told me all about it. And I want to say, no, right? Because red admiral is a butterfly, right?
Or I believe so.
Okay, so it's a moth. So I've used Endol, I think, or just used an insecticidal soap on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've picked the leaves off. He says to pick the leaves off, but just still leave the leaves in the garden so that the butterfly, the caterpillar, can turn into a moth, right? Because it is a pollinator.
That's a great tip. Yep.
So, but I've heard of other people. So it just seemed to come 2 years ago. It just like, boof.
It's appeared
it was there,
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. But then I know at Canada Blooms, I was talking to some of the other people and they, no sign of it, never heard of it, never seen it. Seriously.
Yeah.
In the West End, the Toronto people on the West End. So if it is moving that way, for our listeners that are all over, it really seems to only affect the Annabelle hydrangeas in my garden, not the limelight, not anything else.
None of the macrophyllas.
No,
or anything.
No,
yeah.
none of the macrophyllas, although I took those all out of my garden, but yes, when they were in there, they didn't affect it. And so the leaf just seems to, and even where it's going to turn into a flower, it seems to cover that. So it's kind of preventing it. So I have to kind of pick them off. So, yeah. So I don't know. It's hard because it's a pollinator. So it's not something you want to attack, But I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. We've had some success with, definitely picking them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do see them or around the time that they do appear, there is a product that has BTK.
Okay.
So it's, it's a bacteria.
Right.
Bacillus thuringiensis, and I forget the K, but it's the variety of that bacteria.
Okay.
So the idea is that you spray that on, and then the caterpillars are crawling along, and then they eat it, and it kills them.
Okay.
So it's a bacteria that kills them. It crystallizes in their system and gives them brain death.
And how do you, because I've seen that in the nursery, because it comes in a little red bottle, right?
Yeah.
And so you use that with a hose and sprayer or put it in a mister?
Right. Yeah. You can use 3 milliliters per liter. It's fairly potent stuff.
Ooh.
And then you can use it in a mister or a hand spray bottle or anything like that.
But you still kind of feel bad because it is a...
You do feel bad because it is a pollinator. And 90% of all insects are good guys, right?
Yeah, so. For sure. That is the tricky thing. So, So we do have a good question here. Bill has written us and he has asked us, how do I get rid of thistles in his lawn that his grandchildren keep stepping on them in their bare feet? Yeah, thistles are one of the least favorite weeds, aren't they?
They are indeed. You can always pick them out, something like an asparagus fork or a small hoe to get them out and pick their roots.
Would the dandelion thingy do
yep,
it too?
Yep, the little dandelion poker, just so you don't have to get your hands in there. Do wear gloves because, obviously they're very sharp and spiny, and those spines, I've had them break off in my hand and you get them in like a sliver. There's also another product coming out very shortly into the garden centers. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Wilson's Weed Out. Mark Cullen actually spoke about it just last week.
Okay.
Or this weekend.
We've had a weed out before.
Yes. So right. It is like that old weed out type thing. And it is a broadleaf systemic selective herbicide. So it'll kill the entire plant.
Okay.
And it will not affect the grass. Like the Weed Be Gone can turn it black sometimes.
Right.
Right. So, and Weed Be Gone's more that iron foliage burner.
So how is this one different?
So what this one is, it's an enzyme from peas. I believe it's peas. And what happens is the pea pod develops, it releases this enzyme to kill the mother plant. And then all the pea pods fall to the ground and open and do that. So they've taken that enzyme and created it into a herbicide so that when you spray the plant, and you literally just need like two sprays, two pulls of the trigger, and you've killed like a big dandelion or those thistles. It absorbs in and it just, it kills the plant dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, now a pre-emergent, because I think if you are on like a natural area or across from like an empty lot, like that, the thistles, the thing about them is they blow in, right?
They do blow in.
So would a pre-emergent as well? I know we've missed our window this year, but it might be something to think about for next year.
Yep.
Because you want to prevent those weeds from even starting.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So would a pre-emergent work for thistles as well?
Yep, that should work
as
well.
Excellent. So there you go, Bill. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill, for the question.
Yeah, no, lots of good tips there. So with we were talking about the season, and we're 4 weeks away from our frost date, and which really, really only impacts like annuals and vegetables, right? I mean, yes, you can, even though there's limited quantities of perennials out there, and it's still early, you know, if you did, you know, for whatever reason want to start going, you could do that with perennials, right?
Yeah.
But it's mostly waiting for the end of May for our annuals and our vegetables.
Most certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all tropical. So just a few low nights overnight, well, like the geraniums you mentioned. That's basically what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. They thought they looked pretty and they bought them at the store and put them out. But really, and I'm guessing they didn't even get them from a garden center because I think you guys do a really good job. I think most garden centers do a good job of letting people know that they have to bring them in, just like they do with poinsettias at Christmas. You know, like they let them know. So that's the challenge if you're buying them from big box stores or the grocery store.
Right.
You know, no one's there to tell you how to care for it in April.
Exactly.
So. And even Mother's Day. I mean, I know a lot of stores put a lot of hanging baskets, and I hear a lot of my clients get hanging baskets as gifts at Mother's Day. And it's still early, you know, it's still risky.
It is still risky.
So it's not really much of a gift because that poor lady has to bring them in and out all the time, right?
The gift of exercise.
That's right. That's right. So yes. And when it comes to annuals, I know I'm not a huge annual fan, but buy bigger. I mean, those 10-inch pots, I know they're always a good deal and they always come out early, but I think that they get so root-bound that watering and fertilizing them, there's just no more growth, right?
There's no more room in the pot. The soil can't hold anything to feed anybody.
Yes. Yeah. So just think about going bigger, you know, the 12-inch, 14-inch pot. I think you'll have a much more productive season of your annuals.
Yeah. And by the time they're in that size, they're just a great show anyways.
Yes.
Right? So you get that instant impact. You're not waiting to the end of the summer.
Yeah, to fill out.
Right, to fill out with all those little 4 inches that you plant.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Now, one of the most popular annuals that's been kind of seen a downside lately has been the impatiens. So is that still the case? I know some people are still growing in patience. We'd love to hear from you if you still are growing it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But that annual has been, I think, overplanted. So it's developed a fungus that stays in the soil, right?
Yeah, it's a downy mildew.
Right.
Yep.
And so 1 year it'll be fine. And then the next year you go to plant it and you're thinking that you've done something wrong. And, you know, people are watering them and fertilizing them and they're not thriving,
right?
But really the issue is the downy mildew in the soil,
right? And the downy mildew will stay in the soil for upwards of 7 years before it vanishes. It just kills it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And people are they are doing it. A lot of places are now just doing hanging baskets because you can throw them out, but even then the spores will travel down to your soil. So
really could they do that? Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay. So yeah, I mean, so, I'm surprised that stores still sell them because I just think we need to
Yeah.
teach we just need people to move on.
Yeah. It's a great Jade classic, but I think she's had her time for a little bit.
Yeah.
We need to develop a better strain. So,
But now I'm worried it's going to happen to something like that's going to, because now everybody's going to begonias, right? Yeah. So now everybody, before you had a choice of impatiens or begonias, and now your choice is really only begonias.
Begonias, exactly. Browali is a nice other little mounding perennial purples and whites. They are fairly shade tolerant.
Okay.
Make a nice little kind of heuchera like dome.
Oh, yeah.
That one's nice. Yeah.
I'm not as familiar with that one.
But yeah, the begonias are going to come out. Everyone's going to plant them, and then the cycle will repeat.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I can't think of any. I mean, coleus for sure is for foliage.
Coleus.
There's some different shade products and shade options. So, So as far as you've known, there's no improved impatiens, or they haven't solved that one yet.
Right. At garden center level yet, there's no word as to a new improvement, a new variety, anything that's like the Wallerianas that are out there now. So Nothing yet.
But they're always improving annuals, aren't they?
They're always, every year, there's always. And we find that in the garden centers.
Yes.
A lot of people come back, do you have this one? Well, no, that's been gone for 5-6 years because we've improved it. Or they have that 40-year-old landscape and they love this juniper, but it's long since gone.
For sure. Yeah, I get that too, where they're like, should we really take it out? We're not sure if we should take it out because it's still technically alive. And it's like, yeah, it is, but it's really not looking, you know, it's past its prime.
Yeah.
So it's hard to part with that for sure. petunias. That is one I know I've received something from Proven Winners in the mail, and I was kind of, even though I am strictly not an annual person, some of those colors were pretty cool.
They're beautiful.
I know, but I still kind of fear that they need that pinching and they need that lots of fertilizer and stuff.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
They still do.
Yeah, they still need. There are some quote unquote self cleaning varieties, but even then they just kind of fall into themselves. They leave the little seed thing behind.
And okay.
Yeah. They are still, I think, a lot of that work, that classic kind of deadheading and feeding. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I won't recommend those.
But they are gorgeous. The constant varieties. I mean, the doubles now and the Venetian, the colors.
Yes. Yeah. There's some lime green, the one with the lime green with like a purple edge to it. I was like, wow, that almost looks like not real.
No, they almost look fake now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So why don't we stop, pause for, I guess it's commercial break time, right, Gary? So thanks for listening to us here on Down the Garden Path, and we will be right back here on Reality Radio 101. I was just a little tiny rib and the rib cage was my.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
My name is Mike McNairn. I'm the manager of Universal Field Supplies. Universal Field Supplies specializes in products that are used by arborists. They're professional quality tools that guys that use them every day need to rely on. So they tend to be higher quality than what's found in big box stores. The Universal Field Supplies product could be used by anybody that has trees and likes to look after trees. We've all been to school for forestry or arboriculture, and we have many years of experience. We would be happy to answer any questions people have and actually ask questions of them and find out exactly what their needs are and determine what product would suit them the best. Don't hesitate to call. Here's how to reach us. Call 1-800-387-4940 or email at info@ufsupplies.com. See you soon.
Universal Field Supplies has stores in Mississauga, Ontario, and Port Coquitlam in British Columbia.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome back, everyone.
Thank you, Joanne. Welcome back, everyone. So we're just talking here, everything that's happening in your spring gardening. Thank you, everyone, who has sent in a question. I'm wondering if you also, again, have another question, again, in studio101@gmail.com. We do have some time left. We are still taking your questions. I had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Just in the design world, what's really going on in the design? Is it too late to get a design? You mentioned that you were really booked, and I know the landscape contractors are coming in and they're hectic and they seem to be really booked. I know a guest of mine in our store said that they can't get sod done until fall now. So the people that they called, they can't get it done until probably like late summer, early fall.
Oh, really?
So I'm just wondering.
The booking, Well, I think that it's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show about how everybody's starting so early, and there certainly is a lead time. So one of the things that people, I think, don't realize is they call their designer or landscaper in February or March thinking that they're going to be the first ones done, you know, that their job is going to get started because they're calling nice and early, right? It's February, right. It's March. But really, the jobs that the contractors book in October and November and even December these days are the jobs, you know, that people book for May, for the contractors are booking for April and May and even to June.
Right.
So when spring comes and that phone starts ringing for the contractor in March, they're not booking May, they're booking the end of June, beginning of July.
Right.
So there is that lead time. And so there's, you know, so I think not everybody's aware of that there is a bit. So they're getting disappointed but it's just the cycle that's what's happening now, especially since the contractors can work so late into the fall these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps them kind of book that, know what their spring is. Instead of sitting around waiting to know how much money they're going to make in March and April, they're booking that. So, and certainly some do, they do cleanups first. You know, they'll go and visit past customers and kind of do cleanups before they start getting into the brickwork. So they all work slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Sod is certainly one, because not everybody does just sod. So those contractors definitely kind of book up.
Yeah, we're a little more unique. They have their niche.
Yeah, for sure. Just different kind of crew. I think definitely reach out to the sod farmers because I think they know, they can probably refer you to guys who might have some time. Yeah, and I think it depends on the job too. If it's a really small job, then that's something they can fit in. It is harder if it's, you know, your whole front and back, that type of thing. So that can be tricky. And design-wise too, I mean, that also is the cycle. So I'm designing for a few customers that their jobs are, you know, I mean, one is being installed. It should almost be done. I think if it didn't rain today, they probably would have been done. But I did that design in November.
Right.
So that was one of the first jobs that was installed. And I'm doing other designs that I'm working on now in April that are going to be, I've got one that is going to be installed starting at the end of May, but others that are going to be installed, you know, much later.
Right.
That's for the computer generated designs. So the hand drawings, you know, there's never a bad time, especially if you do it yourselfer, right?
Right.
Definitely. I'm still getting calls and emails for those, and I'm booking next week. So I'm not booking too far in advance. This week is full, but I'm booking next week. And so it gives you, you know, so it's hand drawing, it's to scale. It's usually for people who want mostly garden And there's, as you know, there's still plenty of time for that, right? Not all the plants are even in stock yet. No. So, and you have to do a lot of prep. You know, people were asking me, well, what do I do to get, you know, and it's like, well, you need to get the garden beds ready. You need to dispose of what's there. You need to add the new soil. And so there's lots for you to do. And then let me know at the end of May, beginning of June, when you want the plants delivered. And then we can go from there. So yeah, there's certainly lots of time. It's again, it's that 2 weeks before, 2 months before Christmas, right? There's still lots of time. And you can plant. I know you mentioned some stuff runs out middle of the summer, but very few, I think, do. Yeah. And it depends. I mean, I know all the grocery store garden centers close down in the middle of the summer. But most garden centers are well equipped
and
have farms and place new orders weekly and get new products
always
in.
Have fresh new stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there really isn't a deadline. There's lots of time. And I know people want to have it done so that they can then enjoy the rest of their summer. But, it can be pretty stressful trying to get it all done so early, too. So lots of time. And definitely when you're already reach out to a designer, or someone who's in the industry, they have different contractors that, the contractors will, versus someone phoning them directly that they have no relationship with, versus I know when my guys, when I ask them, can they do this for me, they know it's a qualified customer, the customer knows the plant pricing, the customer has already paid me for a design, they're, much more warmer lead, right?
Right.
And they're going to usually make time for me in my schedule. So, and I'm sure wherever you are, that's going to be the case with any other designer that you're dealing with. So, so yeah, and it really does help to start with a plan. I mean, I go over that all the time.
That's your line, right?
Yeah. So. The gardening addiction is always to keep going back and trying something else. But I think if you have the plan, and what's going to grow in what area.
Right.
I had that on Saturday where I gave I always give the clients a book to look at while I'm laying out their gardens on my graph paper. And they kept loving all these plants that they couldn't have. I had to keep saying, well, no, that's not going to work. No, that's not going to work. But let me show you what is going to work, because it is no different. I mean, that's a book. They could have gone into the garden center and bought all those plants, right?
Yep.
So I really saved them. As much as I was like a negative Nelly on the and that their dining room table, it was much better than them going to the nursery and spending $200 on plants that were not going to make
it. Work in the beginning, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So I know I'm always preaching that, but I do really see the value. So yeah,
and that's true about other contractors too, right? You mentioned just do it yourselfers. We get a lot of people in the garden center who I'm just going to lay some bricks. I'm going to do this, going to do that. Right. So, I mean, hiring someone who knows what they're doing with a proper base, there's definitely a value in consulting a designer on that. And
absolutely,
as well as a qualified contractor.
Yeah. I was talking to, I made an appointment with someone today and she said she got two different quotes for her patio and was shocked at the difference. So of course that, went with the lower guy.
Yep.
And I said, well, then that's a red flag to me. Because they really shouldn't be that much different, for the same size, as long as the base is the same,
right.
So there's more to it than what you just see. There's more to it than picking the stone. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
And another site I was at, I think it was her husband's cousin, did a whole pathway to their backyard. And so it's the walkway between her and her neighbor all to the back fences, that whole long strip, looks pretty easy. They did a great job. It's straight, looks cut well, but no edge restraints.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all now in a year and a half, it's all spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all the polymeric sand is separating because all the bricks have now moved into the garden, right? Because there's nothing keeping it.
There's nothing holding it into
place.
Now the weeds are going to get in. And,
yeah. So, it's just, they knew how to cut stone and lay stone, but it doesn't, it's really is a process. And I know it can be expensive, but it just comes back down to you get what you pay for, right? And
you
I think people are so cognizant of that when it's in-home construction and stuff, like crown molding and kitchen details and things like that, but they're not as educated about the outside.
Exactly. You would never walk into your kitchen with a sledgehammer and rip open a wall, right? So yeah. Why would you go out with a shovel and do that to your yard? I always equate that same thing. Why would you do that? You do get what you pay for.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely if you're nervous or not sure about the budget and the price, you know, definitely starting with a plan, because then the contractors, they're all quoting the same thing, right? And then if there's a huge difference, then you can start to ask them, you know, deeper questions as to why your price is so low or price is so high.
Exactly.
You know, and they can really explain it. So, yeah. Anyway, so we have some upcoming great shows for you, right, Matthew? I know the days, like, it always goes fast.
It always goes fast, and we love it. So this week we thought Ernest was going to be able to join us, and unfortunately a scheduling conflict, he was not.
Okay.
However, he is coming back next week, and he's going to talk, Ernest from Aquascape, everything you need to know about opening your pond, getting that chemistry, all that balance, and really having a beautiful, shining water feature for going into this spring/summer.
Excellent. I can see the science lesson coming on.
Yes, I can hear the chemistry teacher already.
That's right.
And then the week after that, you and I are back, I believe. And yes. We're going to talk about vegetable gardens. It should be warmer overnight. And we're going to go through everything you need to prepping your bed and, you know, what to do with all these different fruits
and those
and
that have listened in the past know that that's not my area of expertise. So I will be definitely
you're going to ask me lots of questions.
Lots of questions and definitely hopefully about some container gardening too.
Exactly. That's huge and hot.
Yes, for the vegetables to do it in containers. So I'm looking forward to that. And see if there's anything new that we should be growing or looking into this year.
Yes.
Right?
You got it.
That would be great. So, yeah. So, thank you, everyone, for joining us once again.
Yes. Thank you, Tammy and Bill, for your questions. They were great questions. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Joanne, for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. it's a great team. I think we're doing great. And, so thank you once again. And Gary for... kind of listening.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah. Supporting us here.
I'm always listening.
I know.
I'm
just
teaching.
Teasing you. I know. We're just teasing you. So thank you, everyone, for listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.